Begin the current daf, Masech des Erech and daf Yud Beis. Begin on the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues in related discussion from the previous daf and from the halach of our previous Mishnah, which we spoke about, that there's a minimum and a maximum of how many instruments and also how many days that we say howl. But every day in the Beis HaMikdash, when they brought the carbon that was obligatory carbonus for the Tzibur, they would sing a Shira. Now, on that, the Gemara says, Yibaylu, the following question. Nesachim ha'boim b'fnei atzman. The wine libations that are brought by themselves. Now, although we established in the previous staff that the Shira is sung by carbon tzibur, specifically a carbon tzibur that's a chayva, obligatory carbon tzibur. Now, so how is this question asked regarding the libations? Specifically regarding if, let's say, the tzibur brings a carbon today, but they didn't bring the nesachim, the libations, with it. They bring it the following day, which the Gemara Menachas of Mendal Mambeis says that that's an option. Because the Pasuk says, Minchasiv and Niskeim, their flower offerings and their libations would tell us even if the carbon is brought that day and you bring it at night or you bring it the following day, that's able to be done like that. So on that, the question is, so although we're talking about an obligatory carbon, which generally has the halacha of shira being sung when that avodah is done by the wine libations, here, when you bring the libations by themselves, tunin shira, does that require the levim to sing the shira? Or ain't tunin shira, or does it not require the singing of the song? As the Gemara explains, what's the question? Kibindam Rebbe Shmuel ben Nachmeinu Rebbe Yonasan on the previous daf, he says, Meinayin she'ein mishira ela alayayin b'chulu. How do we know that the only thing that shira is set on is wine, which is when the wine libations of the obligatory karban is, that's when the levim would sing shira. So Arminan, so we say it. So here, when you bring it just in the sachem itself, that's yayin, that's wine, so you'll say shira. Idimo, maybe no. Alachila b'shtiyah Arminan. When there's eating and drinking, then we say the shira, meaning when you have the karban together with the nesachim. But ashtil chudal yaminan. But when there's only the drinking, when you're only bringing the nesachim, maybe actually they're not going to sing the shira. It's only when it's brought together with the carbon, and then during the nesachim is when the levim sing the shira. So the Gemara says Tosh Matzmiga Raya from a price that we brought in the previous staff. He said, Megaglin schusli mzakai b'chulu. He says, on good days, good things happen, bad things, Hashem makes bad things happen, etc. Which we find that in the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash was the same day and the same situation and so on and so forth. Now, what was brought, that was when the Churban Beis HaMikdash happened, they were singing the Shira on the Duchan on the platform. Now, the question that was asked was, Hai Shira Mayavidite? What was this Shira that the Levim, the Kalim, were singing at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash? If you think it was that they were bringing, let's say, the Tamidim, the daily sacrifices, which are obligatory, Karbanas Ayla, the Tzibur, Mihava? Did they have the Karban Tamid at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash on Tisha B'Av? But B'Shiva Asa Tamas Batla Tamid, already on the 17th of Tamas, the daily sacrifice was already ceased to be because they had no more animals. So what are you going to say? No, it was a donated, they happened to find the young calf, and that day, or the Churban Beis HaMikdash, they were bringing it, and then they were singing Shira. But Vatani Rav Mari Bered Rav Kana, which was the end of the previous staff, that he said, Delay Tzricha, that actually, no, an Eilas Nadava, even of the Tzibur, does not require the Shira of the Levim, because it doesn't have a set time. And as we brought comparing Eila to Shlam, and the Shlam is compared to Eila, which has a set time, and the Eila is only when it has a set time, in contrast to an Eilas Nadava. So Elulav says the Gemara, so what was this that they were singing shir for? Obviously it was din nesachim. They had wine, they were doing wine libations, it could be the carbon that was brought before even Shabbos and Batamas, and for that they were singing shir. So you see that the shir is sung even just for the nischayin by itself. To which Amar Rava, Vitem Mitzam, say it was Ravash, he says, no, for Tizbra, it's logical to bring a proof and to say that what they were singing that time at the Churban Beis HaMikdash was on a Sunday, like we said, was a Matzah Shabbos, the day after Shabbos, was the Shira, and you're seeing, the Shira that they sing by the Karbanas of the Tzibur, even on the Niske Yain when it comes by itself. But Shiri, the Shira, the song that was supposed to be sung on that day, which was a Sunday, is Lashem Aretz Malaya, which we say also in our Shir Shal Yain, we say the same Shira. But the parak of Tilma, they were saying, which is the Shira, they were singing the Shira of a Wednesday. And therefore, that can't be the Shira that they were saying. So you can't bring a Raya, oh, it was Nesachim, and you see that they were saying Shira, because they weren't even saying the Shira there. It was just a lamentation that fell into their mouth, which was regarding cutting down the enemy, and they didn't get a chance to say that, and the enemy already conquered them. So therefore, there's no proof regarding that there was a shira with nesachim because it wasn't in the shira. So the Gemara spoke, as we had the same discussion in the previous daf, but they were standing on the platform, which shows that that's the place where they sing the shira. So the Gemara, that's kedrish lakish, damrish lakish. This is a mishira shalala carbon, that the levim could sing a song even not for a carbon. So it's not that you see, oh, that this was the shir for a carbon. It was just an optional song they were singing because it wasn't even the right days. So the Gemara spoke, hachi ben nesachim namelema. So then that itself should answer. If you're allowed to sing just for no reason, then you should be allowed to sing when you're bringing just the nischiyah in itself. So that's the answer to our question. So the Gemara, no, actually that's worse because nafik minei churva. That would actually be destructive because people might come to say and say, ho, oh, you see that when the wine libations are coming by themselves, it's optional. So people might say that even the libations that come with an obligatory carbon on the same day is also optional, which is not, which that's obligatory. And therefore, actually, maybe when they're not doing anything, then Resh Lakish says you're allowed to do that. But actually with Nasach, maybe not. And therefore, that question has not been resolved. Now, the Gemara goes back to this statement that we quoted in passing here, and which was quoted at greater length on the previous daf. Gufa, we learned that Rabbi Yisirim, he said, Mekalgalin Schuslim Zakai Bechulu, that Hashem makes it happen. Good things happen on a meritorious day, bad things happen on a bad day, which we find by the two Chorbanas of the Beis HaMikdash, they both happen in the same exact circumstances when they were destroyed on the Tisha B'Av and the 9th of Av. So the Gemara asks, Berishayna, is that really so that by the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, B'matzah Shvi'is Mimishkachasla, does it really come out to be after a Shemitah year, meaning the beginning, the first year of a new Shemitah cycle? But the Gemara asks as follows, V'ksiv, there's a pasuk in Yecheskel that the Navi Yecheskel says, Be'esrim v'chamesh shana legaluseinu, in the 25th year of our exile, because there were two exiles from the first Beis HaMikdash, he was from the first wave of exiles, what's called Golas Yayachan, when the king Yayachan was exiled, which was, as the pasuk says, Vacharish, Vamezger, where although that refers, that says the artisans and the workers, it really means the Tamid HaChacham, and Yecheskel was one of them. Now, on the 25th year since we were exiled, says Yecheskel, Barash Hashanah, in the beginning of the year, Be'astel HaChadish, on the 10th of the month, which we're going to shortly explain what that means, isn't Rosh Hashanah usually the first of the month, Be'arba Esrei Shana Achar Asher Huksa'ir, 14 years after the city Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. So that's what Yecheskel ends over there. He says, and the essence of that day, there was the hand of God on me, and he brought me over there, and there was a prophecy that he was referring to. Now, clarifies the Gemara, Ezei Shana, which year do you have? Shere Rosh Hashanah is Ba'asa L'chaydish. That Rosh Hashanah, because he's saying it was on Rosh Hashanah, on the 10th of the month. When do you have the beginning of the year is in the 10th of the month. Hava'im is a Yevil. That's referring to the Yevil, the Jubilee year. It's Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of its year, on some levels on Yom Kippur. Because on the Yom Kippur of a Yevil year, which is every 50-year cycle, then the courts blow the shofar, and they let the slaves go back to their house, and all the fields, the ancestral fields, go back to their rightful owners. Then it's obvious that it's the Yevil year. So that's like the beginning of the year on Yom Kippur. Now, but one thing we see is that it was in the Yevil year that he was saying this prophecy, which he's saying is 14 years since the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, the assumption of the Gemara right now is that that's including the year of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Now, Yevil itself is always a Matzah Shvi'is. It's the year after Shemitah because Shemitah is every 7 years and the 49th year is a Shemitah year. The 50th year is the year after a Shemitah year. So it's what we're calling in this terminology of Matzah Shvi'is. So therefore, ask the Gemara, V'yisogadaitach b'chad b'shavu. Now, if you think it's like this teaching of Rabbi Yisi, that the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash was on a Matzah Shvi'is, meaning to say the first year of a Shemitah cycle, which is after a Shemitah year, that's when it was destroyed. So the question is, how are you going to have 14 years together, as we're assuming, with the year of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, that then it should be 14 years later in a Matzah Shvi'is, which is what Yevil is the year after Shemitah year. But, says the Gemara as follows, if you count from the first year of a Shemitah cycle, which is what Yevil is, and you go back to a previous Shemitah, the first of a Shemitah year, you'll have 8 years. Because if you count it with, it's like the day of the birth is the same day as the circumcision, where 8 days later you count the day with it. So you go back, that's 8 years. Now, l'chad b'shavu achrin, if you would go back another first year of a Shemitah cycle, that's chamish esri havin. That would be 15 years. How are you saying it 14 years later, as the Pasuk says, but you're saying, Rabbi Yossi, that the destruction was in the first year of a Shemitah cycle? The 14 years later, you're saying, is a Yevil year, which is also the first year of a Shemitah cycle. That's 15 years, not 14 years. So Amar Avinu says, not difficult. Ba'ar be'esrei shana, when the Pasuk says it was 14 years later from the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash up until where he was saying it was a Yevil year, was Acher Shana. That was the post year, Shahukser year, that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Meaning, if you're going to calculate 15 years from the Yovel going backwards, then you're going to find that the Churban Beis HaMikdash was on the year after Shemitah year, which is 36 years into the counting of the Yovel cycle. So you're right, the 14 years is not including the year of the Churban Beis HaMikdash itself. It was the year after that. 14 years after that was a Yovel year. So that the Gemara continues and asks, well, Ihach, if that's the case, that you're saying that it was in the 15th year of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, 15 years later was the prophecy, because we're saying 14 years of the year afterwards. So then you have a different question. How could he say Be'esther Mechamesh Shana, that it was 25 years from when we went into exile, which was the first wave of exiles, years before the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash? But the question is, Esther V'sheish Havin, it was actually 26 years from when Golas Yahayachan, which is when Yechezkel himself had gone into exile. Why? Because the Amamar, the master, said as follows. Galu, the Jewish people, went into exile with Yahayachan, b'sheva, in the seventh year of when Yahayachan was laid siege to by Nebuchadnezzar, which was the king that took them into Golas Babel. And so too, Galu b'shmeina, they went into exile in the eighth year. What does it mean, the eighth year? As the Gemara will actually clarify later on, is that same year of the seventh year when Yehoyachan was conquered by Nebuchadnezzar was the eighth year from when Nebuchadnezzar became king. Because in the second year of his reign, he conquered Yehoyachan, as Gemara is going to later on say. So really, the seventh and eighth year is the same thing. It's just seventh is referring to when Yehoyachan was conquered, and the eighth year is from when Nebuchadnezzar became king over his monarchy. And Golu B'Yudches, and it was the second wave of exiles, in the 18th year of when Yehoyachan was conquered, which that was the exiles that went with Tzidkiyahu HaMelech when he was king, which was the same time when the Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, that was 18 years when Yehoyachan was conquered, which that is Golu B'Yudches, they went into exile 19 years after Nebuchadnezzar became the king. So therefore, ask the Gemara as follows. So Mishev, from the seventh year, which that was, like we said, the first wave of exiles, which was when Yechezkel went into exile. Va'ad tam nisrei, until the 18th year, which was when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, that was the second wave. So that is chadsrei. That's 11 years, together with the year that Yechezkel had gone into exile, counting that seventh year. Because we're not counting the year of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, because that was counting with the next counting, from the Churban up until Yovel. So you have 11 years. Then you have Chamesh Esrei, you have the 15 years from the Churban Beis HaMikdash, as we said, because it's 14 from the post year, but 15 years from the Churban Beis HaMikdash till Yovel, together with, like we're saying, the year of the Churban and the year of the Yovel. So it comes out that the total of 11 and 15, Esrei V'Shis Havye, is 26 years from when he went into exile until Yovel. So how is Yechezkel saying, in the 25th year from our exile, it was Yovel? What do you mean it's 26 years? Because the Gemara assumes that it's counting together with the year of when they went into exile. So Amalek Ravina would tell you, what, Ulididach? According to you, the questioner, that you want to count, because the whole question is on Reb Yossi, that we're saying that, because what happened? That Ravina gave an answer, and he says, no, it's not difficult on Reb Yossi, that according to Reb Yossi, it's 15 years, and the Pasuk says 14 years. Ravina says, no, the 14 years from the year after. So we're asking him, is that so? But then you have a difficulty with the other calculation of not 14 years after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, but the 25 years from when he went to exile, it's really 26 years. So Ravina says, you the questioner, that you want to say, not like my answer, and to say that, no, that not like Rabbi Yossi, that actually the 14 years until Yovel was including the year of the Churban too. But mi nicha, is it good according to you that you're asking like, oh, how am I answering this? There's still difficulty. But Mechti, let's see. They also went into exile a third time, or another phase of phase 2, in the 19th year. Now, as Rashi explains, the assumption of what the answer is trying to say, what Ravina would respond and say it's difficult according to you, the questioner too, is that there were three exiles. Because this, that we learned in the Braisa, Golu b'yutches u'b'yutes, although we explained it already, but the Gemara at this point is assuming, it means literally, they went to exile in the 18th year of when the Yoyachim was conquered, and in the 19th, which were two exiles. And he holds that the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, as is amended in Rashi, that it was in the 19th year, was the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So therefore, he says back to the questioner, if you're going to count Misheva Teshasri, from the 7th year of when Yechezkel went into exile, up until the 19th year, so you have Tar Tisrei, you have 12 years. Then you have Arba Yisrei, the 14 years that you hold together with the year of the Churban Beis HaMikdash and the year of the Yevil, comes out that even according to you, it's 26 years from when Yoyachin went into Galus with Yechezkel, which was in the 7th year, together with the year that went into exile, is also 26. So you have the difficulty on you too. Rather says, Ravino, what would you have to say? That this that Yechezkel said, that it was in the 25th year of when we went into exile, is Labar Mishata de Galuba, is besides the year that they went into exile with Yoyachin and Yechezkel. So says Ravina, Ladidinami, Labar, Mishata de Galuba. So you're right. So for me also, it's besides the year they went into exile, and therefore, according to him, it's also going to be 25 years. But says the Gemara, Mikamakim, Tishisre, Laravina, Kasha. But what do you mean? But even according to Ravina, it's still difficult of the 19th year. Because most definitely, as we're assuming, as the Gemara was saying up until now, that there was two Golos, 18th and 19th year, most definitely that it was in the latter part, the second year, which was when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Now, since Ravina says that there was 15 years from the Churban Beis HaMikdash till Yovel, because he's explaining it for Rabbi Yossi, that the Churban was in the first year of a Shemitah cycle, and then Yovel was also 14 years, which we said 14 years from the one after, but it's really 15 years from the Churban till Yovel, and from the Golus Yoyachin, which was the first wave, which was in the 7th year, up until the Churban, which was in the 19th year, as the Gemara is assuming, so that's 11 years, besides the year when they went to exile, and besides the year of the Churban, with the 15 years from the year of the Churban till the Yovel, is 26 years. So how is that resolving the difficulty according to Ravina? Says the Gemara, Misavit Shalish Gol. Let's have another Gemara. The Gemara itself is giving the answer, saying, no, you really think that there was three wave of exiles that were said that they also went to exile in the 19th year? No, that's not really true. There was only one exile in that second wave, which was the 18th year when Yoyakim was conquered. That's when Yerushalayim was destroyed, which was 19 years when Nebuchadnezzar became king. Because Galu b'sheva l'kibush Yoyakim, they first went to exile the first time in the 7th year when Yoyakim, the king of the Jewish people, was conquered. Sheishmoinu l'muchanetzah, which was just the 8th year when Nebuchadnezzar became king. And then a second time, Galu b'shemayna Esther l'kibush Yoyakim, they went to exile in the 18th year when Yoyakim was conquered, meaning was subdued and under the reign of Nebuchadnezzar. Sheitashah Esther l'muchanetzah, which that was the 19th year of when Nebuchadnezzar became king himself in his own kingdom. So therefore, from the 7th year, and here also it's amended in Rashi, until the 18th year, besides the year that Yoyachin and Yechezkel went to exile, and besides the year of the Churban, because that's from the latter count, which was 10 years, with the 15 years that's from the year of the Churban and the year of the Yovel, that's 25 altogether, 10 and 15. So therefore, according to Ravina also, it's resolved for how he's resolving it for Rabbi Yossi, that, again, although the Pathik said 14 years is really 15 years because the year after, and it makes sense, all the calculations, even for the saying the 25 years went into exile, it's also 25 years because they're not counting the year of when they went into exile, and therefore it's 25 years. But now he's saying the prophecy. Because the Amar, like the master said in the Brisa and Seder Olam, that Shana Rishayna, which is clarifying how we were understanding this Brisa, in the first year when Nebuchadnezzar became king, so Kibish Ninveh, so he conquered a different country, that of Ninveh. Then as a Ketintim and Beis, Shniya Olav a Kibish Yoyakim, and then the second year he went up, and then he conquered Yoyakim. Now, that wasn't the year that he exiled Yoyakim and the Jewish people. Because at that point, he didn't exile anybody. Rather, he just subdued them and subjugated them to be in service to him. Then, the king of the Jewish people And the Jewish people served Nebuchadnezzar for 3 years. As the Pasuk says in Malachim Beis, V'hilo Yoyakim Ebed Shalashon, Yoyakim, which is the king of the Jewish people, served him for 3 years. Then he went and rebelled against him for a period of 3 years. As it says in the beginning of Sefer Daniel, in the third year of Malchus Yoyakim, that's when Nebuchadnezzar came and conquered Yerushalayim. Now, the Bryson Seyed Olam says, is that really possible? That it was in the third year of the reign of Yoyakim? But Nebuchadnezzar himself didn't become king until the fourth year of Yoyakim. Like the Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, that this was regarding the prophecy of Yirmiyah to all the people of Judea, that in the fourth year of Yoyakim, that was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar. So what is it saying when it's saying in the third year? It's the third year of the rebellion, which was then, in that third year of the rebellion, Shishas Likibushi, which was the sixth year that it was conquered, because he served him for 3 years, and then 3 years he rebelled. That's when he went and he took him to Babel, and he put Yoyachin to be king of the Jewish people in place of Yoyakim, which it's written in the end of Divrei Yom, that a year later, which is in the seventh year of the first conquering of Yoyakim, that's when he then took also Yoyachin into exile. And it says at the end of Sefer Melachim that Yoyachin went, Melch Yehuda, which is, like we're saying, in the seventh year of Yoyakim was conquered, which is the eighth year of when Nebuchadnezzar became the king, which is what the Gemara is saying, that was the second year of his reign that he conquered Yoyakim. Therefore, that's how we understand the Brisa, that the 7 and 8, and then the other years of 18 and 19, those are just really the same years. Those are two waves, which one's just referring to when Yoyakim was subdued, and one's referring to when Nebuchadnezzar became king. And there was the two waves of exile, that is in the days of Yoyakim, and then that of, which was when Yechezkel was, and then that of Tzidkiyahu Melech Yehuda, which was when Yerushalayim was destroyed. So the Gemara continues with the Braisa that said that on a bad day, bad things happen. Now we said, V'chem b'shniya, same thing regarding the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the same exact thing happened because of the ominous day, these terrible calamities befall, same thing happened in the second Beis HaMikdash. And that is the Gemara, V'shniya b'matzah shviz m'mishkal chasla. Now we're going to ask the question also under B.C. from the second Beis HaMikdash. First we asked him on the first Beis HaMikdash, is that really so? Could it really be it was a matzah shviz? But 14 years later was Yovel, and that's 15 years, and that's how we resolved it. We said that it's not difficult because the year after, and then we resolved also 25 years, not counting the year of when they went to exile. Now the Gemara is asking, but how does that work out in the second Beis HaMikdash? Mechti, let's see. Ba'yishendi kamukam. How long was the second Beis HaMikdash around for? Was Arba Meiva Esther was 420 years, complete years, besides the year that it was destroyed, which that was in the 421st year. But it was around for 420 years. So if you calculate Arba Meiva for 400 of the years, that's Tamni Yoivli, that's 8 Yoivels, because Yoivel is every 50 years, times 8, you're going to get 400. Now, in Arba Esrei, then the remaining 14 years, you have Trei Shabua, you have 2 Shemitahs. Pashlishis, for the calculation of 420, you're left with 6 years. So havalei b'shita b'shavua. So it comes out that the 420 years ended in the sixth year of a Shemitah cycle, which means to say that the destruction actually wasn't the Shemitah year itself, and not the year after. So how are you saying that it was in a matzah shviz? So it's Gemara Hamani, you know the Tana of the Braisa, you know who Rabbis is going like? Trib Yehudahi. The Amad that he says, shnas chamishim oyla lekan. The Yovel year itself, the 50th year, is counted for the 50th year, Ulikan. It's also counted as the first year of the next Yovel cycle. So when you reach 49, it doesn't go 50 and then start 1 again. It goes 49, goes to 1. That first year of the next Shemitah cycle is also the Yovel year itself. So therefore, according to Behuda, in every Yovel cycle, not like we're making the calculation before 50 times 8, no, it's 49 times 8. So I see Tamanya mitmana Yevli. So you have to take 8 from the 8 Yevil years, 8 Yevil cycles that we had counted up until now, because we have an extra 8 years. We don't have a separate 50th year. And Bahanishis, and then you have the 6th remainder that we mentioned before. Hava Arbesa, that's 14. Ishtakech to Bimatzashvias Kharv. So it comes out that it ended in an equal number of 14, which is of cycles of 7. So it comes out that that's when the 420 years ended in the Shemitah year, and then the destruction was not in a full year, which is the year after Shemitah year that it was destroyed. So that's exactly like Rabbi Yossi. However, the Gemara continues asking, but Rabbi Yehuda, but if you explain this halacha of Rabbi Yossi like Rabbi Yehuda, so then, okay, you resolved it for the second Beis HaMikdash, but then B'rishenu L'mishkach Hasla, then you're not able to resolve that the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash was in a post-Shemitah year. Because the Tanya, we'll learn the Braisa that says as follows, Shiva Asa Yevalis, Mani Yisrael. The Jewish people counted 17 Yovel cycles, Mishenichnus la'aretz v'atsheyatzu, from when they came into the land of Israel until they left. And this is learned out from Psukim, like the Pasuk says in Melachim Aleph, says that it was in the 480th year that they had built the Beis HaMikdash, which if you minus the 40 years of the desert, because it was counting from when they left Egypt, if you minus the 40 years in the desert, so it comes out that from when they came into Eretz Yisrael before the Beis HaMikdash was built, was a period of 440 years. Now, and the Beis HaMikdash HaRishon, the first temple, was around for 410 years. So that makes a total of 850 years, which that's equal to cut it up into 17 Yevil cycles of 50 years. Now, continues the Braisa, now you can't say that literally from the moment they came into Eretz Yisrael, then that's when they started counting the cycles of Shemitah, which is every 7 years, and Yevil of every 50 years, because Shemato Emekin, if you would say that, Nimtza bayis char betchilas yevil. That would then come out to be that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the beginning of a yevil year. Which, what that really means to say that would be in the yevil year itself. Because as Rashi explains, you can't say that it wasn't, that the Gemara is saying that the Braisa is saying that it wasn't destroyed up until the 51st year, which would be in the beginning of the yevil cycle. Because then you wouldn't be able to explain what the Gemara is going to shortly say, that when you minus the 7 years when they conquered Eretz Yisrael, and then the next 7 years that they divide Eretz Yisrael, that the Churban Beis HaMikdash would be in the 37th year of the Yevil, which would, instead of saying 36th year, like the Gemara wants to say, it would be saying in the 37th, which would be the second year of a Shemitah cycle. And we need it to be like we're trying to explain for Abiyasi, Matzah Shvi's in the 36th year, which is 35th year as a Shemitah year, and the year after that. So therefore it says Rashi, when the Gemara, when the Braisa is saying Tchilas HaYevil, means the beginning of Yevil, means the Yevil year itself. So if you didn't minus any time, if you went straight when they came into Eretz Yisrael, the Beis HaMikdash would be destroyed in the Yevil year itself. But that would be problematic, because then V'iyata Maitze, then you wouldn't be able to resolve the post in Yechezkel we quote in Oman Aleph, where he says that it was Yevil. When was Yevil? He says, Ba'arbe Esri Shana Achar Asher Huksa'ir. 14 years after Yerushalayim was destroyed, he says he had a prophecy in the Yevil year. In the Yevil year, 14 years after the destruction? What do you mean? Based on the calculation that we just said before, the destruction was actually in the Yevil year itself. So 14 years later is not a Yevil year. Ella rather says the Braisa, Tzemehem Sheva Shekivshu B'Sheva Shechilku, minus the 7 years that they conquered Eretz Yisrael, and the 7 years that they then divided Eretz Yisrael, and they didn't count yet then the Shemitah and Yevil cycle until after 14 years. But the Maitse, then you're able to resolve what the Pasuk was saying, that the Yevil was Ba'arba Esrei Shana Achar Asher Huksa'ir, 14 years after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, like Ravina had explained before, because when you minus 14 from the 50, you're left with 36. So it comes out that in the 36th year, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, which was a Matzah Shvi'is, and the year of the Yevil was 14 years. Again, like we said, besides the year that the Beis HaMikdash itself was destroyed, because from the year itself was 15 years, but that's 14 years. That's what the Braisa says. Says the Gemara, now, but if this halacha of Rabbi Yisai we mentioned before is going like Rabbi Yehuda, but then I see Shivsri Mishivsri Yevil. You have to then take 17 years from the 17 Yevil cycles, because we said according to Behuda, though, that you don't have another year. We were calculating all this according to the number of 50 and 50 and 50. It's not, it's 49, 49, 49. So for every Yevil year, you have to take a year to make this number. And Shadiahani. And then you put that onto these. In other words, you add it onto the Yevil cycles. And then, additionally, like we said, okay, so you'll minus 14 years, because we said we're not counting the 7 years that they conquered and 7 years that they divided. So then you left, 17 minus 14, you left with 3. So it comes out, the Havalei B'tlosa B'Shavui, comes out that the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was in the first Churban Beis HaMikdash, was not in the year after, it was actually in the third year that it was destroyed. So how do we understand it now? Rabbi Yossi is now difficult, if you're saying it's Rabbi Yehuda, to answer the second Beis HaMikdash. Then how do you understand the first Beis HaMikdash, which now is not coming out to be in the first, it's coming out to be in the third year? So says the Gemara, an interesting answer. Hanach Shani Daglinu Sancheiriv. We're coming out from a different angle. Those years that the 10 tribes were exiled by Sancheiriv, a different king, at a different time, all those years that they were in exile, Ad the Asa Yirmiya Adrino, until Yirmiya Hanavi came and brought them back, Loi Kachashim Lahu. Rabbi Yehuda does not count that as part of the countings of the Shemitah and the Yevil, as the Gemara says in the last parak, that only in that year that Yeshayahu brought back the 10 tribes did they then start counting the Yevil cycle. So if you come out and you count from that year until the 410th year when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the first Beis HaMikdash, then you'll have the calculation exactly like we're saying according that for BC, like we're saying it according to Yehuda. Because in the 36th year of a Yevil cycle, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, which 36th year is the year after a Shemitah year, which is in the 35th year. And it's going to come out that 14 years after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed is a Yevil year. Why? Because in the 18th year of Yeshua HaMelech, that's when the 10 tribes were returned. It says the Pasuk in Melachim Beis that in the 18th year of Yeshua, they found a Torah scroll in the Beis HaMikdash, which was opened up to some ominous verses. And regarding those words, the king sent to Huldah, which was a woman that was a prophetess. And the Gemara Megillah of Yudalm Beis asked, what do you mean, how did he leave the great prophet of that time, Yirmiyahu, and sent to Huldah? So one answer the Gemara says over there is that Yirmiyahu wasn't around. Why wasn't he around? Because he went to return the 10 tribes. How do we know that they actually returned? Because it says, Matzi and Halaz, and that's when the Yeshua went and cleared out all the idols, and that's the year that the 10 tribes came back. Now, that was in the 18th year of the Yeshua's reign. That's when the 10 tribes were back. Now that you have the entirety of the Jewish people, then they could start counting again, because you need the entirety of the Jewish people to count the Yevil cycles. Now, Yeshua reigned for 31 years. So from his 18th year until his 31st year, how much was that? That was 14 years. Then after Yeshua HaMelech, you have the 11 years of Yoyakim and Yoyachan. Then you have the 11 years that Tzidkiyahu reigned, from after then they were exiled, like we said, 11 years till the second wave of exiles, which when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. That makes for a total of 36 years. And that's the year that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And therefore, that's exactly like we're having the calculation also that it was in Bematza Shemitah in the first year for Rabbi Yisi, like Rabbi Yehuda, as we're explaining that it's for like Rabbi Yehuda in the Churban Bayis Sheni. That's one approach. If you want, says the Gemara, Lo'ilim Rabbanan. Really, we could say that the teaching of Rabbi Yisi was even like the Rabbanan, which Yevil is its own year, it's not the beginning of the next cycle. But then the question was, as we asked, so it comes out that actually it was in the sixth year of the Shemitah cycle, in the second Beis HaMikdash, how could you say it was the year after Shemitah? Says the Gemara, V'chikatan v'chem b'shni, you're right, when did Rabbi Yisi mean when he said that the same thing happened in the second Beis HaMikdash? That's Ashara. That's on the other elements. That it was the 9th of Av, that it was a Matzah Shabbos, it was a Sunday. But you're right, it wasn't actually on the first year of a Shemitah cycle. It was actually on a different Shemitah. It was actually in the 6th year of a Shemitah cycle. And so it's actually logical to say that it wasn't exactly everything the same. Because the Ilur Temahach, if you don't say like this, the Mishmartish Shal Yayarav, one of the things that it said was by the first Beis HaMikdash, that we're saying the same thing was with the second one, that it was in the exact Mishmar, the family of Yehoyarov, when they were the Kahanim. That's the day that the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. But Bishni Mehavya, was the family of Yehoyarov there in the times of the second Beis HaMikdash? But Vatanyul, in the Braisa that says, Arba Mishmar is Olam HaGoyla. There were four families, four of the Kahanic families that went up in the days of Ezra, from Golas Bavel, for the second Beis HaMikdash, that came up from the exile. They were Yedaya, Vacharim, Pashcher, Ve'imer. Which the reason why we're saying that in order is because in the first Beis HaMikdash, the Mishma Vidaya came before Charim, and Charim came before Pashcha, and Pashcha came before Emer. Now, Amdu Navim Shebineim, so the prophets amongst them stood up, V'cholkum L'choftal Mishmaris, although there was only four Mishmaris, and there was always up until now 24 different groups of Kahanic families, they split these four into 24. Now, they didn't know how they should order them and who should do the service after who. So Balaam, what they did was they wrote all the 24 Mishmaris in, because they split each one into six, and they wrote it on 24 papers, and they mixed it up. But Nosam Makav, they put it in a box. But Yedaiah, then Yedaiah came, wherever the appointee was, and with prophetic precision, he went and he pulled out with his hand, he took out his portion and said his name, and then he pulled out the remaining five, were him and with all his six parts, his six papers, he pulled out. And that was done for six times. And it was in that order that they did the service, and that's how the subsequent ones also, the same thing. They pulled out their parts with their papers as we continue to the top of Begilim and Aleph, Bacharim, Benotah Chelke, Bechelik Chavei B'Sheish. He pulled out his portion, and all the other ones that said that were the parts of Chirim, that they were split into six, also came out the next six. V'chein Pashcher, V'chein Imer, and Yahyarav himself never came back up. So the prophets amongst them instituted Shafiliya Yarv Resh Mishmaris Ayla, that even Yarv, the head of the Mishmaris, who was the main Mishmar in the first place of Mikdash, would come up from Golas Babel, Layitcha Yadai Mimkami Yadai, who's now the first one, will not be rejected from his place of primacy. El Yadai Ikka by Yarv Tafalai, Yadai would be the primary and Yarv would be secondary to him. So you see that there wasn't even there that Mishmar. Rather, Ella Ashara obviously says the Gemara, it's only regards to the other things. It doesn't refer to that it was in the Mishmar of Yayarv. And so too, it doesn't refer to that it was in the year after a Shemitah. Rather, it was in the sixth year of a Shemitah. That's what he meant when he says Vachim Bishneah. And yet another approach. Rav Ashi, I mean, he says, like in the previous Gemara's answer, we could say that actually when it said in Rabbi Yisi's teaching, V'chein B'shniyah, that the same thing happened in the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, it was actually in that same element that we said it was a Matzah Shvius. It was the year after a Shemitah year. And it's going like the Rabbanan. But then the question that we had asked, it actually comes out that it was destroyed in a Shemitah year, not in the year after Shemitah year. Says the Gemara, it's not difficult. Why? Hanach Sheshni. Those first 6 years, when the Beis HaMikdash was built, the Solik Ezra Umakdash, until Ezra HaSeifer came up and he sanctified Eretz Yisrael, Loika Chashuv Lehu, didn't yet start counting the Shemitah and the Yovels. So if you subtract, we were going with the calculation based on when the Beis HaMikdash was built, but if you subtract 6 years from when the Beis HaMikdash was built, it's going to come out that the 420 years, which were the complete years, will be completed in the Shemitah year. How so? Because if you're starting a sixth year into when the Beis HaMikdash was built, so then you're taking away six from 420. So then you calculate the remaining 414, you have 400, which is 8 yevils, and you have the remaining 14, which are 2 cycles of Shemitah. So that means to say that that completes the 420, and like we said, in the 421st year, which was the year after Shemitah year, was when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And says the Gemara, how do we know that up until 6 years into the building of the second Beis HaMikdash, Ezra didn't arrive? Because the pasuk says in Sefer Ezra, it says Beidayin Beitalas Avidas Beis Elohanu DeBushlam, that in the interim that the building of the Beis HaMikdash was not yet built. And like the pasuk there continues, Vavas Batla Achnas Tartin Lamalchus to Yavish Melech Paras, that we see from the pasuk that they only started building the second Beis HaMikdash in the reign of the second year of Daryavish, the king of Persia. Now, Ksiv, it says in the pasuk later on, says V'sheitzi Beisa Dona Ad Yoim Tloso Leyerech Adar, that they went and they built the Beis HaMikdash up until the third day in the month of Adar, the Hishna Shis Lamalchus Daryavish Malko, which was in the sixth year of the reign of Daryavish, the king. Which obviously we see that it was completed in the sixth year of his reign, which they only started this in second year of his reign, so therefore the Beis HaMikdash was already built 5 years. Now, that's meaning that they built it for 5 years. Now, for Tanu, we learn the Braisa, but Asus Man Lashon Haba, in that same time, the following year, which was 6 years from when they built the Beis HaMikdash, Allah Ezra Begulusa Imai. Then Ezra came up with all those in the diaspora with him. Like it says in the pasuk later on, it says V'yavi Yerushalayim Mechidash Hachemish. He came to Yerushalayim in the fifth month, meaning in the month of Av. He Hashana Hashviz Lamelch. That was the seventh year of the king. Now, but up until Tishrei, which was the seventh year from when they built the Beis HaMikdash, which is the eighth year of the king, the seventh year when they built it, then they didn't start counting. Only then, that following year, did they start counting. So for 6 years, we don't count. So therefore, that takes care of the calculation. We had asked that we said that it's not going to come out to be that it was the destruction in the year after Shemitah, but rather in the Shemitah year itself, because we said it actually is this 420 years ends a sixth year in. No, so we answered Rabbi Yehuda. So then we said, no, it doesn't have to be Rabbi Yehuda, it could be like Rabbanan. And now we're giving a second approach like Rabbanan, is that because actually we don't count the first 6 years, because it only comes, it started the counting when Ezra came and he started the counting, and he came in that sixth year, which was in Av, but then till Tishrei, he'd only started counting at Tishrei, which was the seventh year in, and they didn't count the first 6 years of the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore that comes out to be exactly completing it in the Shemitah year, and then the destruction happened the year after, which we don't count because it wasn't a full year, and therefore that's exactly what Rabbi Yossi said, that in both the first Beis HaMikdash and the second Beis HaMikdash, the Chorban Beis HaMikdash was on the Tisha B'Av, that was on a Sunday, that was also the year after Shemitah year.